Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. Well, this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but your word will forever last. God, we are now ready for your word. We pray, God, and ask now that you will bless our time in your word. Somebody who needs you after this word can come to know you. And somebody who knows you after hearing this word would make a decision to grow in you. Have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many years ago, I was speaking at a church event. Room was packed. Everything went well. Preacher did a great job, even if I do say so myself. And people were coming up to me after the service telling me how blessed they were by the message. One gentleman in particular came and over again told me how God spoke to him through the message. And man, it's life-changing. Pastor, God used you in such a powerful way. And as we got ready to part, he asked for my contact information. He said, listen, I'm from the Bahamas and I want you to come and preach in the Bahamas. You got to come. Would you come and preach if we sent for you to come to the Bahamas? And I'm thinking, yeah, right. He's like, oh man, it's a done deal. That's it. Listen, you're going to hear from me. I promise you, you're going to come. Man, I was so excited, y'all. I went home and told my mother, I said, guess what? I'm going to the Bahamas to preach. And my mother said, oh, baby, that's so nice, man. That's wonderful. That's amazing. That's great. Y'all, I never heard from that brother again. Man, I was so excited. I just knew I was going. And over time, I would be promised a variety of things like that. You know, people would say, hey, I want you to come to my church. You've got to come speak at this conference. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And more times than not, those promises fell on deaf ears. Now, here's what I learned over the years. Those well-meaning people taught me a valuable lesson. That a lot of people make promises, but many people fail to keep promises. Now, I'm talking about a speaking engagement, but there's some of you who are here right now who have dealt with the pain of broken promises. Broken promises made by a spouse, or broken promises made by a parent, broken promises made by a sibling, or broken promises made by a friend. But can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? There's a big difference between somebody making you a promise and God making you a promise. Some of you, I'm not sure if subconsciously you have done what you can do to sabotage the promises of God being fulfilled in your life because of the fear that you feel because of broken promises of other people. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to have God's promises fulfilled in your life. How to get God's promises fulfilled in your life. When we talk about the coming of Jesus, we need to understand that the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, this Advent season, was the climax of prophetic promises that were made throughout the Word of God. If you look at Isaiah 7:14, the text says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient, of days. Isaiah 9 verse 6 is a passage that we hear many times during the Advent season. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These prophecies of God regarding the coming Messiah had to be manifested in the coming of a person in order to be fulfilled. In other words, when the promises of God come forth, when the prophecies of God come forth, there is always a person that is tied to and used by God to make that prophecy and promise become a reality. So here's what I want to ask you today. If God truly has a plan and purpose for your life, what do you need to do to see God's promise fulfilled in your life? Three things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you something to hold on to regarding how to have God's promises fulfilled in your life. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to make sure your person is available to God. Add that verb in there. I left that out. You need to make sure your person is available to God. Your person is available to God. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Read along with me from the New Living Translation. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." So here is the angel Gabriel. He is sent from God to speak to Mary. He comes on this second mission, and he finds Mary in an obscure village by the name of Nazareth, Nazareth of Galilee. Elizabeth, her relative, is 6 months pregnant. Nazareth, you got to understand, was a despised city. It was considered inferior by the rest of Israel, in part because Galilee bordered heathen nations, and Nazareth was right there next to those heathen nations. And so the people who were from Nazareth, a deep prejudice was held by the Jews and Romans alike against those who were part of Nazareth. As a matter of fact, you may have heard the saying, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Well, that was said of Jesus when they found out he was from Nazareth. And so here the Bible says that it's in Nazareth, this city that was viewed with disdain by those who were Jews and Gentiles alike in terms of Roman citizens, despite how they were viewed, the Bible says God chose that to be the place from which the mother of Jesus would come. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute because that's a shouting point right there. That the Lord would pick a place that other people would look down upon to be the birthplace in terms of the mother of the one who would save the world from their sins. Watch what the text says. It says Mary was highly favored by God. She was God's choice to be the mother of the Messiah. She was given a unique privilege to be used by God. Now, I want you to think about this. God, just like he favored Mary, favors us. He favors us in that he saved us. He gave us gifts. He gave us talents and abilities. And he wants to use us to his kingdom glory. We are favored by God. But watch this. Mary was not only favored by God. The text says the Lord said, I will be with Mary. I will be with Mary. She did not walk through life alone. God was with her. Mary's life had pleased God to the point that he could favor her and be with her. She allowed God to walk with her and look after her life so that God was able to be with her. Don't miss this. God was with her in her past, even when she didn't know what her future would look like. He was with her in her past, he was with her in her present, and he would be with her in her future. Let me tell somebody in here today right now, somebody who's watching, it does not yet appear what God has planned for you. The challenge is now, will you recognize that God is with you? Listen carefully and recognize that everything that has happened in your past has been for a purpose, but God was with you, keeping you through all of that. Because God wants to use your past and your present to get you ready for your future. No matter where Mary had to walk, she knew that God promised to be with her. And so he chooses Mary and he chooses Joseph. He chooses two godly people to be the parents of his only begotten son. The impossible that God would have chosen, it was impossible that God would have chosen an immoral man and an immoral woman to bear his son. So he chooses two people who walked a life that was pleasing to God. Listen, God is looking for dedicated men and women that he can use in the ministry of the gospel and in meeting the needs of people in this world. But here's what I need somebody to understand. God is no respecter of persons, and he lets us know, just like he can use Nazareth to achieve his and accomplish his goals, God can use you as well. See, everybody would have thought he would have picked a really rich aristocratic young lady from Jerusalem. He said, no, I'm not going to Jerusalem, because everybody can identify with Jerusalem, but everybody can identify with Nazareth. So let me go get this young girl from here and use her to my glory. Write this down somewhere on your outline. The greatest ability is availability. It does not matter how much ability you have. It does not matter how much ability God has given you if you are not available to be used by God. And let me throw this in for somebody parenthetically. If you are too busy to be used by God, then you're too busy. You got to get some stuff on your plate and make God and serving the Lord your priority and fill in the rest of your time with the other stuff instead of trying to add God into your already packed schedule. Mary made herself available to be used by God. And the question is, are you willing to make yourself available to be used by God? Because God's promises for your life cannot become a reality in your life without your person being made available to God. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to accept God has a purpose and plan for your life. You need to accept God has a purpose and plan for your life. I told you, number one, you need to make your person available to God. Why did I add an is in there? You need to make your person available to God. Number two, you need to accept God has a purpose and plan for your life. Help me, Lord. Look at verse 29, Luke chapter 1. Confused and disturbed, underline that phrase, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. The angel comes and visits, and the Bible says Mary was literally thrown into confusion. Now, I think you and I can identify with this in terms of her being confused by what she had experienced. First, she gets a visit from an angel. Now, I don't know how many of y'all had firsthand encounters with angels, but I would imagine that there wasn't a whole lot of angels popping up in Nazareth at the time. You know what I mean? Folk weren't talking about, man, did your angel come and see you today? Man, I'm waiting on him. He'd be here at 1 o'clock. How about your angel? So she gets a visit from an angel. That's the first thing that would throw her into confusion. The second thing is she not only gets an unexpected visit from the angel, but she gets an unexpected message from an unexpected visitor. Here's this young lady. Some would say between 13 and 15 years old, who gets a message from God that she is highly favored and the Lord was with her. Can you imagine God sending an angel down into the hood and showing up at a little teenage girl's house saying, hey, I'm an angel. And God says, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. She never expected to be greatly favored by God. If you ask Mary what she wanted to be when she grew up, I guarantee you she never said, I want to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. One translator said she was greatly troubled. And watch this. Part of the reason she struggled and was confused was because what the angel said to her was diametrically opposed to her personal experience. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park there for a second. Because somebody under the sound of my voice, somebody watching, here's the problem. You can't hear what God is saying he wants to do. You won't receive what God is saying because it is diametrically opposed to your life experience. And you see no evidence in your past for what the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to do in your present day existence. And God says, stop allowing where you have been to hinder where I want you to go. Stop saying, I've never been there before, to keep you from going there now. God says, I need you to understand, I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. Just like he had a purpose for Mary's life and a plan for Mary's life, God says, I have a plan for your life. The angel told Mary she was to bear and be the mother of the Messiah. Watch the specificity of the words of the angel. The angel told Mary what to name him. Jesus. You know, we get some names now. And I don't think God was in any of those names. You know what I mean? But be that as it may, it's not my child. It's not my name. But you know, when you got a child that's named Hennessy, that kind of suggests. No, I'm telling you the truth. You know, got a baby named Cavorsier, you know. Like, could we come up with something better to name a child, you know, right? She hears from the angel, here's what you need to name your child, Jesus, Savior. He will save his people from their sins. The angel tells her not only what to name him, but tells her his future, that he would be great. Not only did she tell, the angel tell Mary that he would be great. The angel told Mary that he would be called Son of the Highest, God Almighty. Then the angel told Mary that he would be the son of David and would receive the throne of David. He would sit on the throne of David, that Christ would reign upon the throne of David, but it would not be the people who would give him the throne. It would be God who would give him the throne. I need somebody to understand, watch this, even when people won't give it to you, if God wants you to have it, God can give it to you. And here's what I know, when God gives it to you, people can't take it away from you. But if people give it to you, people can sure take it away from you. The angel told Mary that Jesus' kingdom would be eternal. So here's the thought. How could she, so ordinary and humble, do anything special for God? The reason she could do something special for God and be used in a special way by God is because God had a purpose and plan for her life. And each one of you under the sound of my voice, God has a purpose and plan for your life. The angel may not have visited you. Jesus may not have come from your loins, but watch this. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost takes up residence inside of you. And when God takes up residence inside of you, God wants to figuratively birth some great things out of you. And some of you are getting in your own way and keeping you from walking in what God wants you to do. Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Psalm 138, verse 6. Let's read it together. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but keeps his distance from the proud. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but keeps his distance from the proud. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to allow God's power to have his way in your life. You need to have and allow God's power to have his way in your life. Look at verse 34, Luke chapter 1. We're talking about how to have God's promises fulfilled in your life. Mary asked the angel, verse 34, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, the birth of Jesus required a combined act. There was a woman's part and there was God's part. God's son would have to be able to identify with people, so he would be born of a woman, but his blood could not save us unless his blood was of divinity. So he had to be, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. He could not have an earthly father because of the sin nature of Adam that flows in all of our blood. So he had to have an earthly mother as an entry point, but he had to have a heavenly father for his conception. That's why it's called the Immaculate Conception. Because no human blood would ever enter into his body that was of a sin nature. As a matter of fact, God was so committed to this Immaculate Conception that he told Joseph, I don't even want you to know her until after the baby's born, because I don't want your sin nature in the birth canal. Now, here's what's interesting. Look at what Mary says. Mary says, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. She's not doubting the message. She's not asking for proof like Zacharias. No, Mary says, listen, I'm not doubting what you're saying. I'm just asking, how can it be? How can you do this? She wanted more information. She wondered how God could make this happen. And there's somebody under the sound of my voice. Listen carefully. Don't ever make the mistake of not trusting what God has said, not trusting how the Spirit is leading you because you don't have enough information. You waiting for God to corroborate himself. And God's already told you, this is what I want to do. And you're asking how, when, what, why. And God says, can you just go? Can you just trust me? Can you just make yourself available to me? And here's what the text says. She asked the question, and the text says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest, God himself, will overshadow you. And the child will be born holy, the Son of God. Mary learned that when the power of God moves, the Lord can open how he wants to open. Watch this. She gets encouraged from Elizabeth because she sees God open a womb that now had been closed. And she sees God in her promising to open a womb that had never been unopened. She sees God moving. She's encouraged because she knows the same power that moved on Elizabeth is about to move on her. There's no secret what God can do, y'all. What he's done for somebody else, God says, I can do the same thing for you. There are a lot of things that you can't do on your own. But when your can't is linked to God's can, let me say that again for somebody. When your can't is linked to God's can, God can do amazing things to his glory. Look at Matthew 19, 26. We're getting ready to close. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. How many of you know that with God, God can do anything? And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you because you are a child of God, then I'm telling you, get out of God's way so you can trust God and believe God and receive what God has for you. Matthew 17, 20, let's read it together. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Let's read it together. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. Can you imagine Jesus saying that with a little swag? What you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I just heard this phrase just this weekend. And the phrase is stop shooting yourself. Shooting yourself. S-H-O-U-L-D-I-N-G. Some of y'all are like, ooh, I'm going to use that. Yeah, stop shooting yourself. Stop, I should have. I should have. You know this, but oh, I look back, I should have. Stop shooting yourself. When you say you can't or you think God can't, that's fear talking. When you say God can, that's faith talk. And if you're going to fulfill your potential, if the promises of God are going to be made real in your life, you need more faith talk and less fear talk. You think God doesn't know how old you are? You think your age is catching God off guard? You think God doesn't know where you went to school or where you didn't go to school? You think God doesn't know that? Excuse that you use is just another opportunity for God to get greater glory. Because when they come back and say, how did you? You didn't. And all you have to say is, it was God. And the greater you allow God to do through you, the greater glory God would get. Stories are told of a woman, 71 years old. She was a twin. A twin died. And several years passed. She went through the grieving process of losing her twin. And she told the gentleman she wanted to write a book. She only told the gentleman she wanted to write the book because she felt like she had a story to tell, but she had always talked herself out of it. Because she said, I don't know if anybody would even want to hear my story. And he said, you should write the book. Because every twin who outlives a twin is going to have to live with the grief of living without a twin. She said, yeah, but there's not that many twins. I don't know that many people who've got to go through this. And he said, but you're limiting it to the people you know. He said, if you want to limit it to all of the twins in the world who have had to go through this. And limit it to those who want to read your story, even if they're not a twin. And the woman has sold books all over the world. Because she decided that she was going to step out and move by faith instead of speaking that shooting language and speaking out of fear instead of out of faith. If God could do it for Mary, I'm just telling you, God wants to and can do it for you. If you make yourself available, if you realize God has a purpose and plan for your life, and if you will allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you in the name of Jesus. We pray that everything that we do and everything that we say would bring glory and honor to you. We ask you to have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Make up for my inadequacies, my insufficiencies, so that somebody has heard from you. And in hearing from you, would trust you and believe the promises you have made. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.